Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anthony, and welcome to another edition of BNA Sports Talk. So if you didn't know, I don't know why I'm starting off like this, but I am in South Georgia, and it is nighttime. It's, what time is it? 8 o'clock-ish? It's 7:22. And it's been so warm, like, it's like 70 degrees right now, and it's weird being able to like walk outside and be like, oh, it's warm, and there's not like a massive storm coming tomorrow, because usually if there's a massive storm coming, it's like warm in the, you know, overnight. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm enjoying the weather while it lasts, because you never know when it's going to be cool for a couple months. I'm just enjoying it. But I kind of want to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, because I had them at number one. In the beginning of the season, had number 24, and my major concerns at the beginning of the season were, you know, they were one of the most penalized teams in the league. Now, I gave the Cincinnati Bengals the benefit of the doubt, because I'm like, hey, listen, they're one of the least penalized teams. That means Zach Taylor has things going down. He doesn't have players doing all these wild things. It means they're disciplined. That's why I have some faith in the Giants. Or, you know, they started off with a lot of penalties this year, but they're one of the most least penalized teams. Now, they haven't been in a lot of games, so it's like, he's not really fighting and stuff. It's like the refs probably give him away with a lot of penalties. You just don't see. I don't know. I'm not like analyzing the film 100%. But, you know, with the Cardinals, one of my major concerns was all the penalties. And every single stat, I'll have it listed. I know it's not really the greatest audio thing to do. I may put this on, you know, on my BNA Sports talk. Here we go. Offensive holding. Average in the league is around 19. They have three more than normal. False starts. The normal is 16. By the way, the most penalties for a single stat is offensive holding. It's just that's like a fun trivia fact. Anyway, false starts, they're 8 above average, you know, up 150% from a normal team. Defensive pass interference, about the same as the league. Unnecessary roughness, almost twice the league average. Delay of games, more than league average. Defensive holding, about league average. Roughing the passer, twice more than league average. You know, that means they're kind of undisciplined. That's what I think. You know, and I haven't watched, I'd be lying, and I told you if I watched every single Cardinals snap. I'd be lying if I watched 50% of the Cardinals snaps. But, you know, I kind of like overestimated the Cardinals. But the thing about them, you saw the stats. They're one of the most penalized team in the league, the top seven penalized team. The unnecessary roughnesses, holdings, that thing drives you back, and that holds you back. Now, with a guy like Kyler Murray, he can extend plays, he can do certain things like that. But the major concern I had in the beginning of the season, the reason why I had them at 7 wins was, I didn't trust that. In the beginning of the season, they racked up wins and wins. They got a little bit of momentum because they had Kyler Murray at the beginning of the season, healthy. Now it's the end of the season, and he's not healthy. You know, he can move, he can jerk a little bit, but he lose that step. Like Saquon Barkley a little bit. Towards the end of the season, you lose that step a little bit. You know, and I'm curious to see. I want to start watching more of the Cardinals to see what's kind of wrong with them, because I am curious. I'm not going to dissect them X's and O's, but I'm curious to see, you know, what's kind of going wrong with them. I want to see how Isaiah Simmons is playing. I'm very curious. Why all of a sudden are they doing a precipitous drop? You know, I had them at number one in the league. That was 2 weeks ago. What the hell happened? They lost to the Rams, they lost to the Lions, and now who they lose to this week? I remember because they lost again, didn't they? Who they lose to? Who they play? It was the Colts. You know, but the Colts had them at number 7 in the league, so it's not that bad of a loss. The Rams, but the thing is, you're losing. You're the number one team. You should be beating these teams. In the end, like they're off the offensive line and defensive line, I don't think they're up to snuff. And especially now that DeAndre Hopkins is gone, Kyler Murray doesn't have his number one target. By the way, quarterbacks always have great games. You know, Justin Herbert always on sucks and has one bad game. You know, but quarterbacks don't perform 100% every single week. So let's stop with the, you know, this team sucks, this team's great. It doesn't matter. Tom Brady loses games. Even Tom Brady loses games. Even Tom Brady will have a game like, oh, he doesn't have it anymore. So let's keep it even keeled. Let's, you know, react. Let's be fans, because that's what the fun of it is. Because you question, is this team actually legit? Like the Chargers, remember, they were the next coming with Herbert, Justin Herbert. They're the greatest team ever. All of a sudden, you know, Justin Herbert loses to the Texans. Oh, but I didn't have, you know, Joey Bosa. I didn't have, what do you think Davis Mills had? You know? So every quarterback has good weeks, bad weeks. Daniel Jones has good weeks, bad weeks. You just got to stay a little bit straight and narrow. You know, you have to bring in some facts. But with the Cardinals, I kind of overreacted to them. In the beginning of the season, I had them ranked 23rd in the league, I think, just behind the Broncos. And that's how they've been playing over the past couple weeks. Like, that's how. But then again, the Lions have been playing like a top 10 team over the past couple weeks, to be fair, besides this week. But they had Tim Boyle, quarterback. But that's besides the point. Yeah, so the Cardinals, at this point, they're not even a top 10 team. I think they're, you know, outside the Super Bowl bubble right now. But we said the same thing about the Chiefs. Colin Cowherd and I both said the Lakers can't win the championship in the 2020 season. All of a sudden, they went on a run. They did it. Same thing we said about the Chiefs in the beginning. Like, oh, there's no way they can win. But they made a change, put Chris Jones at defensive tackle. All of a sudden, they look pretty good. You know, they draft pretty well. And I heard somebody say the other day, it's like, it's kind of a true point. You just got to, I mean, if you're not getting one of the top three guys, sometimes the top three guys are like, they nail them. Even then, Trevor Lawrence, you know, Zach Wilson, you're not sure. It's about that late round value. It's about that late round getting starters, getting your, you know, Willie Gays even, your Logan Wilson, your Rashad Bateman because he's like kind of first rounder. But, you know, if as long as you're drafting well in day two or three, you're going to be fine. You're going to be absolutely fine because one of them is end up being like a great underrated talent that you can see coming out of anywhere. But the thing about the transitioning a little bit into the Giants defense is we don't have that like wow player. You know, the Steelers have TJ Watt. The Rams have Aaron Donald. They have Jalen Ramsey. And even they have their faults. But other teams, the Giants are just limited as a defense. Like our ceiling is just limited. We can play a good game. You know, we can stop anybody any given day. But the thing is, Tom Brady, eventually, he's going to just dissect this team. Like, it's just going to happen, especially when the offense is playing not that well. But the Giants, I think, need a defensive. People, like, I heard somebody the other day say, oh, take a look at the Giants draft. They drafted Andrew Thomas, the worst tackle out of the four. You know, you're just holding on to your takes. From like, if you think Andrew Thomas is not the best pick for the Giants at number four spot, you're just being a biased as a different fan. Because who would you want? Tristan Wirfs at the right tackle and watch Nate Solder hit him on the blind side? Tristan Wirfs is a true right tackle. Andrew Thomas is a true left tackle. And he also doesn't weigh 400 pounds like Mekhi Becton. He also, you know, Judge Cool is pretty good, but I think Andrew Thomas is just outright better. So, and we didn't need a linebacker in Isaiah Simmons. You know, that's not the piece we needed. I think we need Andrew Thomas. I'm glad we had Andrew Thomas. And he's on a bum ankle, and he's still a top eight pass protector in the league. He's struggling in the run game, I think, because of that ankle. You can see he's not as athletic as he has been, but he's still doing it. That's what you have to do, by the way, when you're, you know, an older tackle. Like, do you think Andrew Whitworth had the speed he used to? No, but it's technique, you know? But anyway, so like a little bit of tangent there. But we need that impact defensive player, you know? So I wouldn't mind us, you know, depending on what happens in the draft. Let's say we have the fifth and the eighth picks, because that's where we have now. Jump up to two. I know realistically you go through all these draft scenarios and looking back, it's like, oh, the Giants are going to trade back. They're going to use their fifth pick, trade back, get the 17th and 31st pick, and also a future second. Like, come on, can we stop with all these like draft chart value trades? I do them too because it's just fun. It's like one of the things like math stuff to do, and it's just fun to think of like concepts. But you know, would you be comfortable like if your number one guy in the draft, because I haven't done really scouting yet, is, you know, Thibodeau, and you go, we need that edge guy, you know? Yeah, because I don't think Roche, Aziz are quite that. You know, you get your guy, your edge guy, and then the second round, you know, I'm not saying offensive linemen grow on trees, but you get your offensive lineman there. Maybe do something in the offseason. Like, you feel solid, depending on what you do in free agency, but we don't have a lot of money, with, like, a center or a guard. Then you can potentially trade up to get that impact defensive player. Now, I'm going to start doing the numbers, but I just want to put up this question. This kind of want to talk about in next video. Who do we want to win this week? You know, because if the Giants, I'm not sure exactly how it works out. If the Giants win, you know, that means the Bears lose. And the Bears would be back. It depends on what happens in other games. I'd like the sixth pick. So would you rather the fifth and the sixth pick in the draft? Or would you want the Giants to try to nab that third pick and then have the Bears at more towards 8 or 9? Because they're probably, maybe, it depends what the Vikings do. They're probably going to need to win that last game of the season versus the Bears. So, like, ish, like, even if they win, they're probably not going to make it, but they're going to want to win that game. So would you rather the fifth and the sixth or the third and the ninth? I think I would rather the third and the ninth, because then you do, at the third pick, have, you know, a team like the Panthers calling, and even if, you know, you'd only trade back a couple spots. We're going to talk about this entire offseason, so it feels like a little waste now. But you're going to be able to trade back to the seventh spot if you really need it. But at that third pick, you're going to have either Evan Neal, Aiden Hutchinson, or Kayvon Thibodeau that falls down to you, you know? And then at that ninth pick, you can go, you know, do you really think that Linderbaum guy, the Iowa center, I think he's from Iowa, Bobby Skinner did a review on him. You really think that he's going to go top eight? No, right? So you're going to have an elite defensive player and then a guard slash center that you're going to have for years. So I think that's going to that's what I'm going to predict is going to be the better scenario for us. You know, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, we got time. We got time to see. But I hope you guys did enjoy this video or podcast. And, you know, I'm doing a lot. So sorry that they haven't come coming out that frequent. I just don't want to be like, I have to post every single day. And if I don't, then I go on a long streak of not posting. It's okay if I miss a couple days here and there. I just won't want to post my thoughts and feelings. Because I want to go back to this podcast in 3 years and be like, oh, I remember when we were, 4-13 or 5-12, you know. Now we're 17-0, 18-0, you know, because they're probably going to have that 18th game. But the thing about this season, it's just so long, right? Like, by the time it gets, like, week eight, like, you know your pick'em leagues. You just give up. Like, you just give up, and then it's, like, a long just drag towards the end of the season because you realize, oh, like, my fantasy league team sucks, especially that happens to me every single year. Like, the pick'em league, like, your survivor goes in. And then you just end up watching the games. And then, put big bets that you kind of lose because you're too confident in the Giants. Anyway, hope you guys didn't enjoy this video. I lost too much money this year on the Giants betting. I was so confident that they'd win this week. Bama versus Georgia, man. It was Bama. It was Jalen Hurts, Landon Dickerson. I'm not sure if Landon Dickerson even played. But, and I think he was just on the sideline. And Devontae Smith versus Fromm Wilson, who didn't come in, and then Andrew Thomas. But, again, this is a sayonara. See you guys in the next one. Bye, guys.